Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to another edition of Jawanza for Life. Thank you so much for sharing this afternoon with us. We have got a special guest that you may have heard before, introducing to some, but for others, this is another show that you know that you are going to be able to benefit from if you or anybody you know has suffered from any illnesses or discomfort, and it's health related. You've tuned into the right place. I have a guest that is one of the most powerful people that I know, and he has been on this journey, the journey of healing, for approximately 35 years, and that's a long time. Anytime you do anything for 35 years, then that means you should know what you're doing. And my special guest is a healer. My special guest is a lecturer. I'm going to say lecturer. He goes to churches and lectures and teachers. He's a teacher of holistic health. And my brother has an awesome, awesome testimony that you are going to be shocked when you hear it. And this same testimony can be your testimony. Okay, so without further ado, I want to get to my guest. He's a regular on our show. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. He is Coy Dunstan. We call him King Coy Dunstan, and we are very, very fortunate to have him on with us this afternoon. We're going to be talking about health again, as always, and this is what he specializes in, and I'm going to get right to my guest. Brother Coy, thank you for being my guest again. Welcome to Jawanza for Life.
Thanks for having me. Good day. Hello to your audience and to your host. Thank you.
You know what, Brother Coy? Again, this is one of those shows that this type of information, when we talk about health, it's very much overlooked. People think oftentimes when they feel okay that they are okay. But that's not necessarily true. Oftentimes people feel okay and are gone tomorrow. I remember there was a brother who I used to work with. Every day at lunchtime, he ran 5 miles on his lunch. Religiously, he would run 5 miles. Went to work one day, he wasn't there. Went to work the next day, he wasn't there. Come to find out, he had died of a heart attack. You know, so just because you might appear to be fit, just because you might feel okay, doesn't mean that you are okay. And definitely, if you don't feel okay, that's a sign that something's going wrong and you need to get it checked out. Well, again, my special guest is Coy Dunstan. We're going to delve right into this interview. This month, this show, we're going to be talking about Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. But before we get to that, I would like for Coy to give his testimony, because Brother Coy came to this work about 35 years ago, and there are those who need to know what brought him here. And Brother Coy, could you share with our listeners today what brought you to the holistic healing path?
Well, I got started on this journey about, like you say, 35 years ago. And my mother was diagnosed with terminal cancer of the breast, the colon, and the liver, and was told there was nothing they could do for her at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina. And after being in the hospital for a few days, they made the diagnosis that she had the cancers of the liver, the breast, and the colon, and told her that they would have to do some tests, more tests, to find out how far along. But after about a month or so, they told her that they'd done all they could do and that she would have to take the chemotherapy or leave the hospital. And she asked me what I would do about it if it was me. And I say, well, I don't know anyone that have really survived chemotherapy that well. It seems to me they get worse after they have it. And if it was me, I would just pack up and come on home and get ready to meet my maker. So she took my advice, and after getting home, I felt an obligation to do more, as much as I could, to make her as comfortable as possible, and got involved with a company called Nature Sunshine. And they taught me about how to fast, how to eat, how to take reverse disease, and I began to apply some of this with my mother. And after about 3 months, she went back to the doctor, and they told her that they didn't know what happened, but she had recovered pretty much completely from the diseases. So with that, I was like shocked myself, and I felt that I found my calling, and I've been doing this ever since. But she lived 10 years after that and died a healthy, at a healthy old age of 72. So we live with these conditions, and we think there's nothing we can do about them. But and we trust. We tend to trust what we are told, and we don't question things. And oftentimes, the people that we trust are the ones that that's really motivated by money, and we find ourselves being a guinea pig for their ability to make money, and we die as a result of not knowing that we can reverse and contain and heal disease in our own bodies, in our own way, in our own time. And I've been on a mission for this long trying to get people to understand that, and where I can to demonstrate it, and been blessed with it, and I'm thankful.
You know, Brother Coy, it is, when you think about the medical establishment and trust that people put in the medical establishment, you know, it's so much more than when a person, for example, their car breaks down, they're having carburetor trouble or something, and they take their car to the mechanic to get it fixed. You know, they expect the mechanic to fix it. When they come back to get it, they expect that everything that was diagnosed is taken care of. But when you go to the doctor, or a doctor is recommended, or you know, your mother gets sick, or your father gets sick, or a relative, or even yourself gets sick, you go to the doctor with the hopes that the doctor knows what he's doing or she's doing, and that what they prescribe for you that they know works. And, I mean, people are literally putting the life, their own life, and the life of their loved ones in the doctor's hands when they go to the doctor. And to have such a responsibility, speaking of the doctors, and then to not know what they're doing, to have such a an awesome responsibility with such a poor track record, you know, is sad, because it's like these people, again, are trusting the doctor, the lives of their parents, their children, with their lives of their parents, their children, and their own lives. And for the doctors to have such a poor track record, yet we still go because we don't know any other way. And I'm just so thankful that, brother, you have found that other way and that you are sharing that information with our listeners. And to thank you for the listeners who happen to have tuned in today. I want to say thank you. You could be doing something else. And if at any point during this interview you have a question, all you have to do is press 1, and we will bring you up, and you can ask your question or make your comment to our guest. Now, tonight we're going to be talking specifically about who is feeding you. Okay, do you know the answer to that question? Who is feeding you? Okay, the TPP treaty and what that is and what that means and the ramifications of that. Brother Coy, what is the TPP?
Well, I'm no expert on it, but I can tell you what I understand about it. It's the health food industry, the healing industry that I'm in, has been under attack for as long as I've been in it. They've always tried to find a way to take away your right to use the plants that God put here for you, the herbs, plants, seeds, the vegetables, the all the things that we know that we should be eating. The food industry has fought diligently for ever since I've been in the business to try to put us out of business or curtail or discredit what we do as being quackery and all that other stuff. And as long as we have the Constitution of the United States and we're under the Constitution of the United States, they are bound by it. So they can never really, under the Constitution of the United States, prohibit us from using the herbs or prohibit us from being able to diagnose and treat ourselves. Any person can, if they feel like that they need to do something other than what the doctors say, they have the right to do that. And the doctor really can't say, have no business saying that you can't do it. And we know that one of the biggest reasons that we get sick or die, the number one cause of death is going to the doctor. And they don't want you to know that, and they do everything they can to keep you in their clutches so they can run you through the prescription meal and all the equipment that they have, the X-ray machines, the breast machines, all the things that they use to diagnose. It costs money, and they got to pay for them. So they get you caught up in the treadmill of being a money machine so that the insurance company can give them money to pay you, pay for you going to them to kill you. So that's where we are in the health industry today, and they have tried every way they can or every way they could under the Constitution to limit people's access and knowledge of what we do in terms of making the changes and reversing disease and using what God gave us to heal ourselves. They have tried to restrict us from using that, and they have not been successful. So now they come up with this Trans-Pacific Treaty. Supersedes the Constitution. So if you have a world treaty, then the Constitution becomes null and void. It doesn't matter anymore. So they come up with this Trans-Pacific Treaty that allows multinational corporations to basically, manufacture or make up foods that we can that they give us to eat, and we're supposed to trust them that they're giving us the best foods. But when you get a genetically modified food, which is the major way that they are trying to feed the world now, is come up with a genetically modified product because it'll sit on the shelf longer, it's more resistant to disease, and all those other things that they give us for using GMOs, the Trans-Pacific Treaty would allow them to do that and not really tell us what's in it or how they do it or why genetically modified fish is twice as large as a regular fish in a certain amount of time. All of those things, we would have no knowledge of it, and they don't have to tell us that it's genetically modified. And it's a way that they can, again, make more money and do more harm or kill more people so that they can make more money. And that's the basics behind the Trans-Pacific Treaty. They want to put it in a treaty because they can't put it in a U.S. law because the Constitution won't allow it. So through a treaty, they can do what they want to do with the food. And when you say a food is genetically modified, it just means that it also has the pesticides and all the poisons that go into making that seed do what they want it to do. And it's another way of creating more disease so that they can get more richer and be the sole provider of what you eat. You can't even grow seeds now. You can't even buy food that you can't go out in the backyard and grow your food, and you can't demand that they label the food that you do buy so that you know what you're eating. And the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement would just aggregate that so that it would become even more acceptable for multinational corporations to do that, the people that feed us, to provide us whatever they want to give us in terms of mixing up something and calling it food and we eat it. And that's, in short, is what the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is all about. They say it's supposed to create more jobs, it's supposed to help the middle class. But they say that about all those treaties, those international treaties, and we find that the middle class in America right now is pretty close to decimated. You have no permanent jobs now. Everything is so transient. You might get a job 6 months out of the year or even less if you're lucky enough to get a job. And we're finding that these treaties are the main reason, because under these treaties they can hire people or go to countries that the labor is cheap, that the land they can do what they want to on it and spray it, and all of these things they can do that's cheaper for them to grow, that they can get a better yield because they can create it and make it with a genetically modified seed. They can almost design how much each plant will produce, and they have all of these ways of increasing the yield from a crop. But at the same time, the way they do it it really makes the plant or the food synthetic, and because of the toxins and the pesticides and all the chemicals they use on the food to make it do what they want it to do, you eat it and you go into this disease state, and you really don't know why, and they don't want you to know why, so they try to keep everything secret and speed it through before you get a chance to look at it. And the Trans-Pacific Partnership haven't passed yet, but I think the president put it on the fast track so that it could be expedited, and they're trying to get it done as soon as they can. Probably sometime this year they'll vote on it, and probably it'll pass, because unless we can come up with amount and effort to object to what's happening and not allow the multinational corporations to do what they want to do, unless we put a check on it and say no, it will probably pass, and that would be the death nail for the country and for people. And you think you're sick now, wait till they get their way. So that's where the Trans-Pacific Partnership is going, the way I see it. And if you get a job, it won't be in America. It'll be somewhere in a foreign country. And it'll help someone else's middle class, but not this middle class in the U.S. So we have to be aware of what's coming at us and why we need to know about these things so that we can at least object to it if we get a chance, and know why we're objecting to it if we want to do it. So in a nutshell, that's what it's about.
You know, Brother Coy, you mentioned GMOs, and the proponents of the GMOs declare that there haven't been any conclusive tests to prove that GMOs are harmful. Now, of course, we know that some things don't manifest until time. You know, there's a certain amount of time that might have to elapse or whatever. So whatever test that they've run, let's say if they put out a genetically modified food today and you eat it today, the results of that or the harmful effects of that might not show up for, you know, 5-10 years down the line or whatever. So
a generation maybe. A generation it may take, yes.
Yeah. So they're even making that assertion that no conclusive tests have been run to prove the harmful effects of it. It's premature because, you know, some things, again, take time, like you just mentioned, a generation. And what it appears is that, and it's very evident, that people are placing profits over people. Now, it may have been like that for a long time, but just to even think that these multinational corporations would place profits over people is really insidious. And when you really think about the fact that these same people who may reap the profits, that they themselves will get sick one day, maybe even from eating genetically modified food, you know, that, I mean, where are they going to go? I mean, where are these people going to go? What doctors are they going to go to when they get sick, even after reaping the rewards, the financial rewards of having these treaties passed, you know, making profits over people? But at some point, they themselves are going to fall victim to the very things that they're promoting today.
That seems so, and it's all in the name of money. That's what motivates this this whole machine that we live in, is money. And if it's about making a dollar, life comes secondary, or health comes secondary. Everything comes secondary to the dollar, and that's why we are in the shape we're in today with the economy and the multinational corporations taking over everything. They want to take over government. They want to take over your food. They want to take over your schools. They want to take over everything. And with that, they can plan their projected profit over a period of time and rip you off. In other words, rip you off of everything and just put it in their pocket. And they go on down the road to wherever they go, and you are left with nothing to show. So it's just, you're right, it's an insidious process, and it's because we have the FDA, we think that the FDA is going to protect us. It's not so. FDA is in the lead of this, and they are the one proponent of the whole idea of these treaties, so that they can do what they want to in terms of selling their stock and making their money so that they don't have to answer to anyone. That's what they want. They don't want to have to answer to the people or to government or to anyone else. And they do that by setting up these what they call think tanks, like to name a few, I can't think of one now. But they have these think tanks. These one of the think tanks works for the Koch brothers, which put out more garbage than anyone else. And they get what they want by funding these think tanks to go out and sway people to think a certain way or to accept a certain thing. And it's all designed as a ruse so that they can sell you garbage. And that's what's happening in the – that's how they do it, and this is what happens when we are not vigilant and don't keep up with what is happening around us. You can't trust the government. You can't trust really no one now in terms of looking out for you. If you don't have the information to the information that you need to make a determination about what you should do with you and your family, which is your right under the Constitution – then you're going to be a victim of their system of taking your money and giving you what they want to give you, and the government is going to be along with it because it's all about who got the money to pay for what they want. And if you don't have the money, you're just out. Yeah.
You know, Brother Corey, it's amazing to see even the different countries that have signed on to the TPP. Like Chile, New Zealand, Singapore, and you got other countries that are negotiating right now, like Peru, Vietnam, Malaysia, Mexico, Canada. I mean, these are countries with citizens that are trying.
But remember, just like America,
get in on this.
Yeah, but just like America, the corporations have hijacked the government, and they are able to manipulate them to do what they want to do. And oftentimes it's unknowing. They don't really understand what's going on because they come with a suitcase full of money and sit it in front of you, and that's all you can think about, and you don't really think about the long-term consequences of what you're doing to your people or your country. And that's why this is so insidious and so dangerous. It's just based on ignorance and people not knowing what's going on with these multinational corporations.
You know, it's really wild when you look and do the research and you start looking and seeing what the actual ramifications of such a treaty being passed has on the citizens. For example, the TPP would require us, the U.S., to allow food imports if the exporting company claims that their safety regime is equivalent to our own, even if it violates the key principles of our food safety laws. And these rules would effectively outsource domestic food inspection to other countries.
And the insidious part about it, they don't have to tell you. They don't have to tell you anything under these treaties. They just do it. They got free reign. And besides, if you go out and you protest against it, the corporations can come in and say, you are causing me to lose money, and you and sue the city or the state to make them pay them for you protesting or not going along with the program. That's the insidious part about it. And it's that's pretty much along the way, and if we don't stop it or at least raise some opposition to it pretty quick, it will become law.
Oh, I have a question. I was just wondering, how long has this treaty been in effect? Has it been?
It hasn't passed yet.
This is something that the government is trying to pass. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm trying to bring people's attention to it because this is what they're trying to do, not only to regulate what they eat and their health options in terms of what they can do. This is something they're trying to do to increase and also to stop your ability to decide what you can do with your own body and what you have to put in it or what you have to do with it. This is another way around trying to destroy your ability to do something or to do anything for yourself. You can't plant the seeds. You can't. They're going to regulate the herbs so that if they say you can't have it, you won't get it. Or if you have supplements, they can regulate how much are the milligrams of each item in it, and you can bet it won't be enough to prevent any disease or do anything positive for the body, because wherever they get this nutritional value from, it's not going to be worth much because the food is already polluted. So, yeah, it's real insidious, and it's tough to even comprehend sometimes. Yes.
And that is very, you said it. It is tough to comprehend. It's tough to comprehend that the people who we elect, the people that we trust, you know, the country that we trust, you know, because they have the FDA, and the FDA is supposedly there to prohibit certain harmful things from, you know, reaching the public. Matter of fact, they even go as far as to recall certain things, for example, if meat is found to be
contaminated,
defective, or if there's contaminated, then they will recall that. And so, therefore, when we hear those type of things, it gives a person, the average citizen, a sense of false security, thinking that, oh, they're looking out for us. Yet, at the same time, that they're recalling meat and other things that are deemed harmful to the public, at the same time, they're having these secret, even, negotiations, while we are distracted by other things like the Super Bowl, you know, or whatever else might be in the
Academy
news
Awards,
while we're watching the awards, all of these things are going on that are going to affect us, and before you know it, something's going to be passed, and we're wondering, how did that get by us?
That's correct. That's what they call fascism. Fascism is government and corporations working together really against the people. And because corporations have all the money, they are able to make these things happen. If I'm in charge of the FDA and Monsanto come to me and say, here's a suitcase, $5 million, and just sign here, hey, what you going to do? You know, what you going to do?
Give me the pen. That's what you people do.
Give me the pen, right? And that's how they do it. Basically, that's how they do it. They just have the money, and they have the means, and they have the power to influence government. And that's what's going wrong. And we need to put a stop to that if we can. If there's any possibility of stopping it, only the people is going to have to come to a place where they become so outraged and so mad that they get up and just demand that these people go, or just go down to Capitol Hill and start pulling them out and make an example out of a few of them. But that's the only options you have now. That's the way the game is played. If you don't have the power to influence your congressman, or if you don't have money, a lobbyist to go down and sit in front of him and explain to him your side and what you want, you get left out, period.
You know, Coy, even as I'm listening to you, I'm really having trouble really comprehending what you're actually saying, because, you know, and I know I'm not the only one, because we have been taught to believe or trust
conditions.
Yeah, physicians and these other people in high places of authority are looking out for our welfare. And to just even think that, you know, they could actually pass a law that could be harmful knowingly. Yeah. Now, would you say that this is knowingly?
Yes, it's knowingly. It's intentional, yes. Yeah.
See,
and they play on your ignorance and think that that you think it's okay because, you know, your senator, your congressman said it's okay. Your corporation, your bank says it's okay, you say it's okay. But you have to really get into the business of studying and finding out exactly why these things are going on and what's happening. But you can look at the FDA right now and look at their record, and you can see that the way they are going is not favorable to the people. They allow most anything to come into the food supply. They really have no inspectors to enforce anything. So you just got your hopes in something that's really not there.
Wow.
To the callers online, if you have a question or a comment and you'd like to join the conversation, please press 1, and we'll bring you on and bring you into the conversation. Yes, dear.
And Coy, would you be able to just elaborate a little bit more when you say genetically modified foods? Because maybe people might not really understand exactly what you mean when you say genetically modified foods. And also, does this TPP, I mean, I know we have all types of medicine out now that is harmful. You can just look at the commercials when they advertise it. They don't even try to hide all the side effects.
Well, they have to tell it. They have to say what they're trying to.
Well, with this, with this
treaty,
TPP
they wouldn't
treaty,
have to. Yeah. They wouldn't have to.
That's what Coy's saying. It's a possibility that they wouldn't even have to, you know, inform you that all these side effects come along with the taking of this medicine. But could you just go back over that again, Coy, and really talk about genetically modified foods, how we can recognize if it's a if it's possibly genetically modified? I know on labels now you can see, you know, it is written on the labels, you know, as far as, you know, process, you know, different things like that. But to elaborate a little bit more on that.
Well, the when I say genetically modified, it's really a way of controlling the food supply again. When you genetically modify something, you can control it. And there is a documentary that does a pretty good job of explaining what genetically modified foods do. And it's Seeds of Death, I think is the name of it. Seeds of Death, and if you put it on a search engine, it should pop up, and you should be able to watch it. And it does a pretty good job of explaining it. But really, when you take a seed and you genetically modify it, you do it for a reason. Usually it's to prevent pesticide, the pest or the bugs from eating it, and to give it more longevity or to make it keep it from spoiling. So when you do that, you also have to put in the contaminant or the pesticide or whatever you are using it for. You have to put it into the seed so that when it grows up, the bugs won't eat it. So that's basically what genetically modified is to make it so that it can stay on the shelf longer, that it can stay in the storage longer or whatever they want to do with it until they decide what they want to do with it. It might sit somewhere for 25 years and then they can pull it out, and it's just as the way they put it in. But it still has the toxicity and the contamination and the pesticides that they use to control the pest or whatever they're trying to do. It's embedded into the plant, and that's why you can only plant it one season. And now it's against the law almost to have a seed that bear a seed that you can plant. They've just about got that under control so that you can't do that anymore. In other words, if you buy a seed, chances are it's genetically modified. And even unless it says on the package non-GMO seed, and I think it's illegal to even sell them, then you're getting a genetically modified seed and you're getting some of that already. It's already out there. They're just trying to make it okay. And a lot of the genetically modified foods causes a lot of the diseases. It increases the chance of diseases. And as the documentary Seeds of Death will point out, when they did the test, these genetically modified foods cause more disease. If you put it in a fish, the fish might grow better, but they might have cell degeneration that would, when you eat it, it would go to you, and then it goes into your genes, and it starts modifying your genetic makeup so that it begins to even change whoever gets it. That's the problem with it. It's insidious. It's almost a way of controlling how you think, where you go, what you do, what you eat. It's a complete, you know, they get you into this box, and it's difficult to get out of it once you get in it. That's why people are demanding that these things be on the label. They've been having some success with making them put on the label, whether it's modified or not, and that's a good start. But they can still distribute or use these foods in places where people don't know, or they are not aware of what's going on. they can still use that throughout the world, not only here and throughout the world. And unless you take the time to look at the genetic modification of whether or not a food is genetically modified, you're really putting your life in someone else's hands.
You know, Brother Coy, I know that in countries where there's not the access to information like here, for example, computers now are almost like televisions, almost like one in every home almost, or is moving in that direction. But if you take, let's say, third world countries or, you know, countries where they might be starving, you know, where there's just not access to information and they just really dying for lack of food, you know,
Then
I'm sure that with the people who are in such a condition where they are now just, they'll take anything. They'll take whatever you give them, you know. I mean, I'm sure that these countries are going to be they'll start there more than likely.
Most of the world are people of color. And remember that we are also in a genetic war with the elite. We outnumber them 10-1. And if we ever come to a place to where we could work together, we could take care of all of this. But they are doing everything they can to make sure that if we ever get to that point, that we won't have the brain capacity to be able to deal with what we need to deal with to get them out of our lives.
And you know, that's the part that it's going to be so, it appears that it will be so gradual, this decline, you know, in mental capacity, and, you know, it just seems like because everybody will be, the majority of people will be consuming these genetically modified products which I hope and pray that this does not get passed, but if that, you know, if that appears that it's going to be the cycle, I can see why it's very important for us to take control, take more responsibility, and take more control over our health.
Absolutely.
And
if you don't, they will, yeah. If you don't, they will.
And you can see it in...
yeah. And look at the schools. The schools are dumbing our children down. We're not able to, even the SAT now, they're trying to change that so it's more easier to take than before. So everything they're doing is to dumb us down so that we don't think about what's happening or all we want to do is go to the game or watch the Oscars or play ball or go out, who's going to bed with who. That's the way they got us stuck up in, and it's not taking us anywhere but down a path of death and destruction.
It appears that the First Lady, Michelle Obama, is very
health conscious.
And do you feel that, I'm not sure if you've been following her, but do you feel that the efforts that she's trying to make is really going to make a difference when she's a part of the government that, you know, is trying to or possibly would support something like this?
Well, if you look at labeling, a lot of the foods, there's a big talk about labeling it so people will know what they're eating. And really, it's not making a lot of difference in what she's doing because if the food is, if they take out, say, if they have to put in the total grams of sugar, say, they may make them put in the total grams of sugar that's in a bottle. You know, most of these drinks that we get, a serving is only a third of it. So if you sit and drink a whole bottle and it's not on the label or you can't figure out on the label that you're getting all of these calories because you got to multiply times three, if you can't do that, then you think it's okay to drink a whole bottle. Now, that's the only difference that I can tell. They're going to put the total calories or the total for the whole bottle as opposed to a serving. And that's one of the things that I think she's been instrumental in, but I don't know if it's going to be enough to swayed people from drinking the whole bottle. If you buy soda, you can't put the top back on and drink it later. I don't know how that'll work, but it's something. It's a movement, but I think the people are going to have to. The people will have to demand that more be done with it in terms of getting more sugar out of our foods, getting the salt out of our foods, I think we have to push a little harder. You know, when the president was elected, he said that if you want me to do something, you have to make me. And that means we have to be active. We have to be on his doorsteps demanding what we want. First of all, we have to know what we want and why we want it, and then we have to demand that it gets done because this is what we want. And so I don't see that it's going to make a lot of difference unless the people have their input in it and can really sway the decision makers to do the right thing.
Now, that's why education is so important. Why education is so important, because people say what you don't know can't hurt you. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Don't know can kill you. Matter of fact, what you don't know is killing you. It's killing people. You know, what's so interesting is that there are people who would rather than listen to a show like this, would rather watch the game. Rather than listen to a show like this, would rather watch the awards, you know. And then when it comes down, and they get sick, go right back into the system. And, you know, that's such a it's amazing how people can be programmed, you know, just how it, programming it, works, to what end, you know, that you can actually
food,
get.
It.
Yeah.
It's in the food. It's in your water. I mean, everything is designed to get you to not be able to concentrate on anything longer than 30 seconds. And if you do, you get a headache. So it's the sugar in the foods, it's the chemicals they put in the food, it's the designer foods that they make to make you want to eat it. All of that is part of getting you to respond to what you see on TV, to go out and buy a new car or whatever. All of those things are implanted in you, and it's by design. It's no accident that people don't want to listen to this because they feel like it don't apply to them. They don't have the capacity to really want to even get involved in it. They want to leave it to someone else. So they let it happen. And we have to stop that, and we have to speak up and say, be able to speak up and knowledgeably about the subject and demand that certain things be done that's in the best interest, not necessarily for you, but for the generations to come. You have to look for generations, seven generations down, you should be thinking about. And if we don't put some demands on what we want, the seventh generation is just going to be a disposable society where all they do is buy consumable goods that kill them and they die, and the next generation comes along and the same happens. So we have to get back to a place to where we know why we want to do certain things and what we have to do to get it done.
Well, I know that, you know, from previous shows, you've always said that diseases are curable. There's nothing, I mean, that cannot be cured. But it's a responsibility that each individual has to take and be determined that they are going to do the work that's needed in order to, I guess, live that life of optimal wellness or strive to live that way. The information that you bring is so good because it enlightens you. It helps you to think. It helps you to question things that you normally would not, you know, think about. Because, like you said, all of this, and we are indoctrinated with all of this information to just follow the crowd, just to follow what everybody else is doing. And the average, you know, I would say the average household probably don't really think about it. We're so consumed with working and, you know, taking care of the kids and doing this.
You don't have time. Yeah. You don't have the time.
That's exactly right, but you need to make the time.
Hello.
And I mean, I'm talking to myself as well. You know, all of us really. If you love yourself, you know, if you want to be around to be able to see your grandchildren or you know your children to grow up healthy and
not just see them but play with them, because you can see them and still not be healthy enough to play with them, you know.
You know, it appears that people say that we're living longer, but do you feel that that's true? We might be living longer, but there appears to be more sickness and disease. Every time you turn around, somebody's, you know, dying of cancer today, diabetes, all these different diseases. So, Coy, you again have said before, these diseases are curable. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Well, as I say, we get sick because we're not doing what we're supposed to do in terms of feeding this body. We don't know how the body works. We don't know what the body needs. No one has ever taught us. and we think we can eat whatever we want to eat because we've always eaten it, and it's okay. But we really need to come out of that and start doing some consideration about, even if you're a meat eater, where's this meat coming from? Who grew it? Where? How did it die? How did it get on my plate? And what did this meat go through? And whatever that meat went through is going into you when you eat it. So it's going to affect your psyche. I think that's why a lot of people get up and go kill each other, because that's how the animals are treated. They run them through this trough, and they get them all excited, and they got all this hormones and other stuff in them, and all of that stuff. When they kill them, they be in a state of fright, and all of that. When you eat it, it goes into you, so you go out. It makes you go out and kill your brother. And we have to begin to look and see why is it that we are getting sick. And the number one reason is we are not on the diet that we should be on. Now, if we start doing the right thing, and I think there's plenty of evidence out there that we should be on a plant-based diet. If we are not on a plant-based diet and we are sick, the first thing you should do is get on a plant-based diet, even before you go to a doctor, and see the change see the changes in you. And we have to learn how to, at least a period of time, that's why we should fast. And it's not like you don't eat anything. You can just stop eating meat and just start eating plants. That's a fast. And do that as long as you can, or until you convince yourself that this is what I need to do. If you need help with that, there's plenty of people out there that can help you decide whether or not you're eating what you need for your body, or how to even what kind of foods you need to eat for a disease that you have. There's plenty of information out, and we have to start using the information. Just like when you see a McDonald's commercial, you get up and go buy that Big Mac. When you hear this information, you have to act on it, and it's you have the power within yourself to end disease in your own body. It's just having the information to do that, and there are plenty of people out there that's able to give you some good advice in terms of what you need to do to turn any disease around in the body. And we see it every day, and it's happening, and I think that's why you see this groundswell of information and opposition coming up with what's going on in the country today.
That's deep. You know, because what you said, it just made me think about something, because I remember when I was growing up, there weren't many, as a matter of fact, I can't remember any when I was growing up, black vegetarians. Okay.
That's right.
That just wasn't something that, you know, we did, you know, that I knew of. I mean, if you heard of a vegetarian, you know, it was always a person of the Caucasian persuasion. It was
never
a black person. But now, so you see, I mean, the information is getting out there. People are getting cured. People are getting healed. I mean, you've got black vegetarians everywhere you turn. I mean, you know, it's very common. It's uncommon at all to see a black vegetarian. And now, you know, now you're seeing, with this information coming out about the EP, you know, maybe, you know, because of this change in the mindset of people are trying to get healthier. People are trying to live longer and actually take precautions and make steps towards that end, that now these multinational corporations or, you know, people, the powers that be, are saying, hey, wait a minute now. These people starting to wake up. You know, we need to do something. As insidious as criminal as that is, and as criminal and insidious as it sounds, I mean, when you think about it, Coy, I know you can remember a time you've been, I know when you started 35 years ago, when you became a vegetarian, I'm sure you were one of the only, when you looked around looking for somebody to talk to, you probably had to look in the mirror.
Yeah, pretty much. and then too, when we learn these things, we have to act on it. So the power of one is very instrumental here. Because if I can say that I've seen this, I've done this, and this has happened to me, that makes a difference. And no one can stop you from doing that. And when you do that, it catches fire and it spreads. So it may take a while. It is like we're in the third generation now with me, and people are just coming into the place to where they begin to understand that, yes, what I eat does make a difference, and if I don't make a difference there, nothing else is going to make a difference. After slavery, they called themselves setting us free, but free to do what? They didn't give us any resources. They didn't give us any food to eat. They didn't tell us how we should eat. They didn't do anything but just say you're free. So what you going to do? You're going to go back to what you the only thing you can do, go back to what you know. And we are getting to a place now to where we are sufficient enough to be independent enough to make decisions outside of what we have done and make some changes in terms of the better. We are learning now that we can stop diabetes, we can cure cancer, we can do a lot of things if we just take the time and just try it. Just try it. See for yourself, and everything else will come into place. But you have to try it, and you have to study, and you have to kind of know what you're doing so that you don't create more problems. But drugs are not the way. Drugs will never be the way, and I think it will be a day when we will reduce the amount of drugs that these companies can put out. In fact, they're getting now to where they can't even produce the drugs anymore. They've used up so many chemicals and used up so many poisons, and that now they are running out of substances to even make these drugs. So there's a drug shortage. So people are going to be forced to, in a way, move to more natural, more conventional ways of taking care of themselves through their diet, through how they think, through what they believe. All of those things are going to play a major role in the future of medicine.
You know, Brother Coy, and the illness, a disease doesn't care what you believe. Okay,
right.
A disease doesn't care what your faith is. Well, you could be Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Rastafari, you could be whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A disease doesn't care what you are. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine today, and he was sharing with me about how the majority of his people in his congregation have either had knee replacement, hip replacement, arthritis, high blood pressure, heart disease. I mean, these are the people in his congregation. These are the people that believe in God, you know,
and
are
they
suffering.
They don't know why or what to do about it. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's just simple. Just read the Bible and follow it. I mean, it's not complicated here. The dietary plan has been laid out for us, and we just need to adhere to it. And a lot of those things that it doesn't matter what you call it. You can give it whatever name you want. It all comes from the same thing. The foods that we eat create inflammation in the body, and the inflammation breaks down into the digestive system, and it begins to deteriorate the cell, and through that process you get disease. If you send disease cells in your blood, you're going to disease your body. And the only way you can stop that is stop doing what you're doing, do something different. And if you don't realize that, and if you're going to go to the doctor and think he's going to give you a pill to cure your arthritis, you're going to die with arthritis.
Mm. I heard that.
Coy, if you would just take a moment just to share with our listeners diabetes, how easy is it to cure diabetes?
It's probably the easiest thing in the world to cure. You could probably correct any diabetic problem in 7 days. But you have to just stop what you're doing and do something different. You have to go to a raw diet as best you can, monitor yourself and make sure that your blood sugar is coming down instead of going up, and you have to get that inflammation out of the body, away from around the pancreas, get that inflammation down. And the best way to do that, I think, is to take the 5,000 milligram non-acidic vitamin C. It gets rid of all inflammation in the body, and you begin to put the things in, the raw juices, the raw foods, the grains, nuts, seeds, all of those things will begin to stabilize your blood sugar, and you can do that in 7 days or less if you just follow it. And most of us can't do that unless we go into some program, and that's all we have around us, because as long as we have all these foods around us, that are toxic, we're going to continue to eat them. And oftentimes, if we don't know how to fast or if we don't know how to change our diets, we're going to get stuck into just eating the same thing and going to the doctor to do something about something that only you can do something about. You just have to stop eating the stuff, and generally your blood sugar will come back into balance. Know what your blood sugar should be, and know what it takes to bring it down, and you will find that diabetes will dissipate in 7 days or less if you want to. If you want to spread it out or take a year, whatever time, just start the process, and you'll see for yourself that your blood sugar will stabilize. It's just that simple, really. Just change the diet. Diabetic is a dietary disease, and if you don't start eating what you're supposed to be eating, you're going to die with diabetes. It'll kill you. It goes from diabetes to kidney failure to heart disease to heart attacks, and you die.
Wow. Now, you know what's interesting? You said that it's a dietary disease and not a hereditary disease because there are people who think that certain ailments run in their family. Could you address that? Because people say, high blood pressure runs in my family or diabetes or arthritis runs in my family. Could you address that?
Well, I would say anything that's preventable, it can't be hereditary. If you can prevent it, it's not hereditary. You have to look at some other reason why you have it. And if you have it, it's because you are continually doing the same thing and not trying to make a difference in terms of what you eat. Even with blood pressure, is a little more sensitive, and these doctors tell you that if you're taking this medication, you can't stop. But with blood pressure, I think the main problem with blood pressure is stress. You've got to get to a place to where you can de-stress, trying to work two jobs, trying to raise a family, and all the other stress that we are under, it's not going to happen that you're going to get your pressure down. You're going to have to get to a place to where you can relax, where you can, again, a lot of it is dietary related. If you eat the grains, nuts, seeds, and you drink the good clean water, your blood pressure will stabilize. And if you learn how to eat and exercise and do the things that you need to do, you'll find that your pressure will stabilize and it will come down. But the medications that they give you is not going to, artificially it may hold it down, but still inside you got that inflammation going on. It's still bubbling up, and it's eventually, if you don't take your medication, you probably will die. But if you decide to make a difference and make a change and get on a good program and stay on it, you'll find that your pressure will come down. After a week or so, you should be able to come off your medications completely.
Mm. Now, that's so powerful, Corey, because a lot of times people – talk about, when they go to the doctor, they're being treated for diabetes or treated for arthritis or treated for this. You're talking about curing it, right? You're not talking about treating it. You're not talking about controlling it. You're talking about getting rid of it like you never ever had it.
That's correct.
Wow.
And that's the difference in what I do and what a doctor does. The doctor practices on you. He treats you for the disease. That's what they do. But your body should not have to deal with any state of disease. If you learn how to deal with yourself in a way that you are consistent with your environment and you're not out of order, like you go to bed at night and you get up in the morning and you don't stress yourself out during the day and you have a God that you pray to, all of those things are important in terms of keeping your body in a place where you can actually be productive in this society. The idea is that your life should be lived so that your heart is lighter than a feather. And because of all the junk that we put in our bodies, our heart is probably the heaviest organ in our bodies, and we have to begin to learn how to take care of that heart so that it doesn't get burdened down with trying to carry the load. That's why you have a God. You give your problems over to God and let your heart be free. And that's what we have to learn how to do. And we haven't got to a place yet to where we fully believe that or trust that. And that's why we suffer from disease.
We've got about 2 minutes left. I'm going to just at least give an invitation. If there's anybody, if you got a question you want to squeeze in here, all you have to do is press 1. You got a little time to talk to Corey before this show is over. Otherwise, we'll have to, you know, when you come, when you have him back on, we can address whatever your comment or question is there. Just press 1, and I can bring you on. Yes, Eva.
And so, Corey, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that anyone that's wanting to get involved in this process, you know, look at the seas of change. Find out who your congresspeople are. Find out who your senators are. Call them and let them know. Find out where they stand on these issues and see what they tell you. And if you don't like what they say, tell them that if they don't change their mind, we will change that office, who sits in that office or in that chair. And you have to come at them like that because that's what they understand. They don't, you know, they don't understand that you're my brother's keeper. They don't live by that. No, they live by the dollar, the almighty dollar. And if they can get it, they'll do anything they can to get it, including killing their mother, their children, or themselves.
Coy, could you give your contact information for the listeners who are listening today who may want to contact you and, you know, they have some personal questions or whatever as far as maybe how to go through this transition, you know, even in that diet and or if they are dealing with a, you know, an illness, what they can do about it. The main thing that I love about, you know, what you, the information that you bring is that you give people hope because there, you know, you don't have to suffer.
That's right.
You don't, you can live a long, productive life and I guess die in peace or just, you know,
go to sleep and
just go to sleep.
You don't have to die sick, right? You don't have to have a disease take your life out. But I'm at 3923 South Capitol Street, Washington, D.C. 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest Washington, D.C., and the best way to get me is just call 202-562-0041. If you leave a message or you want me to call you back, just say call me back and I'll call you back. But that's the quickest and the easiest way to get me if you need to talk to me, and we can work out how we can communicate from there. I have email. I have other ways that you can contact me, but and if you want me to come and even sit with you, I can do that.
All right, brother. Any closing remarks, Brother Coy? Thank you again, brother, for another powerful, powerful show. We learned a lot tonight about the TPP and the ramifications of that and what we need to do to, you know, kind of be active in contacting people to express our opposition against it. Because sometimes just you can't just pray. Gotta, you know, faith without works.
Gotta move.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right. And again, that would be my closing remark. Call your congressmen, senators, president, even the White House. And I think the ball is in the president's court mostly. And just even send him a letter or leave him a message on his phone and tell him that, you know, forget this TTP, the Trans-Pacific Treaty stuff, and let's deal with some of the more pressing issues in this country that we need to deal with in terms of controlling these corporations and getting them out of our lives.
Brother Coy, as always, my brother, thank you so much. This has been a very educational show. Information is power, and, you know, but information can only be powerful if you use that information. Thank
Absolutely.
You, my brother.
I appreciate you having me, and I say good night to your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciate having me, and anything I can do, again, call me, 202-562-0041, 562-0041.
All right, thank you, Coy.
Blessing, my
thank
brother,
you.
As
I
always.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
All right. See you soon.
Peace.
Peace. Everybody, that was King Coy Dunston, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Again, that phone number, if you'd like to speak with him, is 202-562-0041. Honey, is information power?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But like you said, you got to be able, you got to use that information. You got to apply it
That's right.
to your life. Mm-hmm. And just take one day at a time. One day at a time. You know, if you are dealing with something, you didn't get there overnight. So it's not going to, you know, sometimes it might not. You know, you might not get healed overnight, but you possibly could. But as Coy said tonight, that a lot of these diseases, within 7 days,
yeah.
something that we think or the doctor will tell you, there's no way, you know, you're going to die, you know, and that takes your hope away right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
But see, God has another way.
Come on.
So, and
Preach.
We just, and we thank God for Coy. He'll be, he comes on once
a
month.
Yeah.
And so we just encourage everyone to continue to listen and continue to go back and listen to the archives. We've got tons and tons of shows.
Yeah.
That you can go back and feed your spirit and get uplifted, because that's what we like to do. We like to encourage people to go forth and be the best that they can be.
Optimal wellness.
Absolutely.
We're going higher. There's a song we want to play. It's called Take Me Higher. And if you want to go higher, you want to go higher?
Yes, I do.
Let's go. Peace and blessings, everybody. Hope you stick around for the song. We love you. Peace.
Take me up higher. Reach for the top. Higher and higher.